And also, brother, thank you for the good songs that you selected tonight. They were a blessing. I think about, when I hear that, living by faith, for some reason, I think about Brother Kenneth Jackson up in Cold Springs. I know that he's struggling with cancer again, in case you have not heard, his return. He'll be having some surgery, and I know he'll be putting some information out later about the camp meeting in July, but we do need to remember our brother in prayer. He has been a blessing to many people over the years, and I do appreciate him. I do. A very gracious brother. I need you to turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians again, and turn with me to chapter number 16, as Paul, in his letter here, in his analysis of them, and I want to show you something that I think shows up in a healthy church. As I had mentioned before, you know, you can go to various kinds of doctors for various reasons, and they'll tell you and look at specific things. For example, for myself, for example, I mean, I had to go to a cardiologist this past Wednesday. Tomorrow, I have to go to a dermatologist because of some skin cancer-looking issues. And then Wednesday, I have to go to a dentist. So they're not all going to be looking for the same things. Amen? Most of them, however, do refer, want a referral from a general practitioner or your doctor. And so they want to know that at least somebody looked you over to see if all the basics are working before you go to see them. But it's amazing how that the church is likened unto the body, and how that the Bible uses that term very much, that the church is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the church. And when you read through the book of Revelation, you find the Lord Jesus Christ examining those seven churches, and there are several times there when he says something like this: "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess." And that's just a few of the things he had against them. So when you go to the doctor, sometimes you don't always get good news. And so when he gives you the news, you want to do what you can to fix it. Amen? What a blessing it is when you get a great report after you go and see him. I always enjoy when I go see Brother Clark and I get through with him. He says, "You're doing better. You're on the right track." I'm always glad to hear that. I'm a little bit disappointed when, man, you messed up right here. You know, we got to work on that. But hey, that's part of life, because various things happen. So I'm just saying that in the church it also, because a church is a living organism. It's not an organization. You're dealing with people, and people have issues, and people have blessings, and they have gifts. And so when we all get together, or we work around each other, or we are around each other after services, at home, working on something, there's always something that's going to challenge you, something that may surprise you, something that may require of you some long suffering, or some forbearance, or some explanation, or some forgiveness. All those things are involved in a healthy body. God has put red blood cells and white blood cells and all kinds of various things in there for various reasons. My understanding is white blood cells are to fight infection. Is that correct? Correct. So you're going to have some folks here in our church that notice things that don't need to be there. And so they're like a white blood cell. They'll approach you and say, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you doing this? We don't need this in our church." And you say, "Well, that offends me." Well, if it's something that ain't right, it ought to offend you. Amen? Because what you're doing is offending the rest of us. Amen, Brother Roger. So, when we talk about a healthy church, and remember, unity and maturity and purity, we want to be able to have that in our church, and we want to have clarity, we want to have sincerity. Now, when I talk about this thing about sincerity, let me remind you about this. This is talking about other people's consciences, and how that many times churches, they hurt each other because they cannot have enough grace to allow somebody else to have a different opinion or different personal preferences about certain issues that are not black and white in the Bible. Maybe diets, might be holidays, maybe various things. But I mentioned this morning, we do want to be like-minded. We want to be of the same judgment when it comes to the manuscripts, the King James Bible. When it comes to the message of the gospel, repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to music, we are for the hymns of the faith that teach doctrine, and we are not for the contemporary Christian movement as a whole and where they're going. And for modesty, the first thing that we notice about you should not be your body or your flesh when we see you, male or female. Amen? So there's some things there that we want to agree on. But when it comes to that, you got to have some grace with brethren and brothers and sisters in Christ. And that happens in churches when you sometimes, with your own personal preferences and opinions, you press upon other people. You want them to be just like you. Listen, if you're not comfortable with some of the things that they're doing, that's a doubtful disputation, you don't have to have them over to your house. And you don't have to go over to their house to be able to come to church and worship the Lord and serve God together. I'll tell you what, it'll fix a lot of that. If we just, the bottom falls out, the economy falls out, we go to war and you need each other. You'll lay some of that stuff aside when we're suffering. But I come across this statement, and I believe it to be true. Bible-believing churches are at their best when dealing with false doctrine and teachers. They are at their worst when dealing with doubtful disputations and differences of opinions on personal preferences. Personal convictions are placed on the same level as vital Bible doctrines. Petty and peripheral issues become poison to the unity and harmony of the assembly. And I totally agree with that. And while others around the world are being seriously persecuted for their faith, we are trying to decide if we can attend church with someone who irritates us or disappoints us. That's where we are in America, because of our prosperity has brought about these kind of things. Well, now look in 1 Corinthians 16. Want to mention the last thing I think is a sign of a healthy church, and I want to use the word that is mentioned in verse number 15, but I want to start at verse number 10. And when you're reading through this with me, if you would underline or highlight how many individual names are mentioned here. Look in chapter 16 and verse number 10. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. You know, if he's going to exhort us to be men, then said that all your things be done with charity, obviously, being manly includes being charitable in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Look in verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And that's what I want to focus on, is the ministry of the saints. The ministry. Okay? And that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking in your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. And therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Do you see how many individuals he listed there in those verses? Each one of those individuals has a different phase or type of ministry. But they are all in the ministry. And I think it's critical that every member of East River Baptist Church believe with all of their hearts that they are in the ministry. They may not be what the world may refer to as a minister. If the police officer drove up out there and there was some confusion in the parking lot, he's going to ask you, where is your minister? And now what are you going to do? Because that's the way they think, right? He probably won't say, where is your pastor? He'll probably say, where is the minister? If you go to a funeral home, the funeral director is going to come up and say, here's a card for the minister. Because that is the way they think. Because that's the poison that leaked down into the early churches that Jesus hated in the book of Revelation, of where it separated people, and you had a layer up here of leadership and ministers, and down here you had the laity or just the common man. But in the Word of God, it is a body. And everybody is critical in that body. Now, there will be different parts of your body that will have, as the Bible refers to, an office, possibly, such as a pastor, such as maybe a deacon, might be even an evangelist. And so they may have a particular type of ministry, but they all are part of the body that is in the ministry. Am I making myself clear? Everybody is in the ministry, and everybody is a minister. Now, don't tell that to a woman who says, I'm a pastor. You know, don't tell. That's only going to kind of put fire in her fireplace when she may be messed up. But I want you to look at this now. Listen, the word carries with it many implications, and it needs clarification, but the Lord Jesus Christ is my example. Christians are to be developed and conformed to the image of Christ. And the Lord Jesus, behind him had a group of men that were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. They had the Muhammad Ali syndrome. Which one was the greatest? He sat, and listen, Brother Lawrence, these guys had traveled with Christ for 3.5 years. They knew that he had said that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to minister and not to be ministered unto. And what they were arguing about was which one of them was the greatest among them. And the Lord Jesus had to sit them down and really kind of give them a good chewing out. And said, you're thinking just like a Gentile world thinks. And he says, I want you to understand that in God's sight, the greatest among you will be he who is servant or minister one to another. What was his example to the church? He sat them down, took off their dirty sandals, took a bowl of water, and washed their nasty feet to refresh them. And he said, by this example, he said, I'm setting you an example. He said, if you want to be happy, he said, you follow this example. You want to be miserable? The contrast of that. You want to be miserable? Always try to be number one. Always try to be in charge. Always try to get all of the credit. Always try to be somebody applauds you. He said, but that's not going to make you happy. Because that's going to be like a drug. You're going to want more and more and more and more. You'll never be satisfied with what, when you seek the applause of men, you never have enough of it. Never. Your ears will become like satellite dishes, and you're always coming in and you're sensitive to what everybody thinks or says about you. Well, nobody praised me today. I'm going home discouraged. We don't always have time to think about you. Did you know that? I hate to disappoint you. Ministry. Boy, I love, I think that where the Holy Ghost works, there's life. And I think where there's life, there are ministers. Everybody's involved in the ministry somewhere, doing something for the glory of God. Who was the woman who made the blankets for the widows? You remember her name? I'm sorry? Dorcas was one of her names. She had two of them. She was so famous, she had two names. She did what she could. She had a ministry of making blankets for widows. You're not going to have people in a line signing up to make blankets for widows. But those widows loved her, and when she died, they went and got help, and they told Peter, we can't live without this woman. We got to have her. She wasn't famous for a lot of things, but she was famous for being a minister to other people. And there is something that you can do. It's like Sister Robin. She is, when somebody has a birthday, if you get a card from the church, that comes from her taking the time to, and sometimes she makes some of those cards herself. And she does that from her heart, and she'll write something to encourage you for your birthday or your anniversary. I mean, it really is a good ministry. Now, sometimes she has to make up stuff about some of you if it's to be good. I understand that, and the Lord forgives her for that. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Do you understand? But you can find a way to be in the ministry. And you say, well, I just don't feel like I belong in that church. I get so tired of hearing people over the years saying that when they haven't even made the effort to get engaged or to get involved in the ministry. You say, yeah, but I tried, but man, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they irritated me. Welcome to the ministry. That's like somebody saying, I want to be an EMT, but I don't want to deal with blood and guts. Or you're a physician, but you don't want anybody to ever be sick. You know, that's part of it. And that's why it takes the Spirit of God, because it takes long-suffering and forbearance and love to be able to minister one to another. Never underestimate what you do if it refreshes a brother or a sister. Look what he says over there in verse 18. He said, for they have refreshed my spirit. They have refreshed my spirit and yours. A good word, a love offering at the right time, inviting you over for a meal, taking care of your children when you're sick, somebody coming and cleaning your house. Just knowing that somebody loves you and cares about you will refresh your spirit. And the Bible says here that we are all in the ministry. And I want you to notice something about this. Every Christian is in the ministry. Chapter 16 says here, notice he mentions a family. Wouldn't it be awesome to have your whole family engaged and involved in the ministry? Isn't it a blessing to watch the Lairs? They're all doing something. Somebody's playing something or doing something around here. Amen? Even the little ones are bringing a bulletin. It's a blessing to watch. It really is. And look in verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas? And it's the house. The house of Stephanas. We don't know how many kids he had, so let's use our holy imagination. Maybe he had one or two. Maybe he had 10 or 12. Amen? I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that in the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves. That's what we need. Need some addicts around here. We need some addicts. People who are addicted to the ministry. Addicted to the ministry. And you know what? When you're addicted to something, you'll do whatever you have to do to get to it, to get it done. You're not easily offended. You're not easily pushed away. And you're not easily discouraged if you're addicted to something. And if you're addicted to the ministry, I'm not going to let some backslidden Baptist push me away from doing the will of God. I'm not going to let some critic who's doing nothing discourage me from doing what God has called me to do. I'm not going to let them determine that in my heart and life. And he says here, notice families. What a blessing it is to see families sitting together, seeing families sing together, seeing families serve together here. It is an awesome thing to observe. And I'm grateful for that. But I think that he was doing more than just going to church. I think probably he took the inconvenience also of having people over to his house to minister to them. Now watch what he says this. I think with all my heart that if you will learn to serve in the ministry, you are more apt to be qualified to be elevated to leadership somewhere where that God can trust you with that authority. Now watch, look in verse 16. He said to them, he said that you submit yourselves unto, what's the next word? Oh, thank you, such. He didn't say them. He could have just mentioned that family, but he said unto such. Meaning people who are addicted to the ministry, people who are going forward, people who are part of the solution, not part of the problem. People who are interested in people, in ministering to people in any way that they possibly can. He said that you submit yourselves unto such. Well, obviously, Paul delegated to them some responsibilities, but with that responsibility, some authority that they might take care of some things. And he says, unto everyone, and he said, you also submit yourself to everyone that helpeth with us. So Jesus basically is saying then, if you want to be a leader, learn how to serve. Servants become leaders. That's what he's saying. But you're not seeking leadership, you're seeking to serve. And because you have the heart of a servant, God can trust you with leadership. People who are thirsty and hungry for authority do not need to be in leadership. They will abuse. People who move pieces around in a church like on a chessboard to get where they want to go because of their ambition, they are dangerous in a church. He said that you submit yourselves unto such, everyone that helpeth with us, a helper of the war, and laboreth. Serving is work. It's work. Sister Linda, every time we have somebody come through here, it's not always easy to have to clean up after everybody that stays in the apartments, is it? Now, some folks do a good job of cleaning up after themselves and will leave it spotless. And some, it'll look like some wild kids got turned loose in Toys R Us when she goes in there. But she never complains. She says, I'm thankful to be able to serve. And the Bible says, and laboreth. And then notice now, this is again a household, a household. If you'll look in verse number 19, it says, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Now there's a couple. Not just a household, but there's a man and a wife that are serving God together. Oh, it so encourages me. And I hope that all of our church family that couldn't make it tonight is listening right now. What a blessing it is when you have a husband and a wife team that walk in that door. That a woman does not have to walk, and who's got a husband doesn't have to walk in here by herself to go to church. That doesn't have to get in the car on Wednesday night or Sunday night and drive to church by herself, because her husband has got excuses of why he can't be here. And I am talking to you men that are watching, that are not here. I am talking to you. I'm saying that everybody's got aches and pains. Everybody has got jobs that demand things of them. But when you marry that woman, and when you tell her that you love her, then lead her in the things of God. Even when it is inconvenient. Amen? Our brother Jared's back there. I love this young man. He is a silent servant. The guy gets up sometimes at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, drives to Dallas, works hard all day. I'm talking about laborious work. Drives 4 or 5 hours back to be back to his class on Wednesday night, never murmurs, never complains, just glad to be able to serve. Never says a word. Never says a word. I appreciate that. I want you to know that Paul is bragging on these people right here. It is a healthy church that has families that are engaged. That means you got kids, you got people of all ages in a church. It shouldn't look like a geriatric center when you go into a church. Amen, Brother Roger. It ought to be the ancient ones all the way down to the little ones. Do we have any ancient ones in here? I'm just asking for a friend. And Brother Oakley's looking at me and said, yeah, there's one over here. If Brother Brock was here, he'd be saying, amen, there's one right over here. Who are the ancient ones in the Bible? Unfortunately, I fit in that category because that's grandfathers, basically. And those who get up in their 70s, I'm not there yet. Thank God, I'm still a young man. I forgot about that. 3 score and 10. But do you understand, it is, you have families that should be engaged in the ministry. You'd be couples engaged in the ministry. It shouldn't be the wife having to say, honey, would you wake up? We got to go to church today. Please go to church with me today. You should be ashamed. That's why he says, quit you like men and be strong. Lead your family. Couples, if you see yourself in the ministry, it'll motivate you when you're tired. If you see yourself as a servant of the Lord, it will motivate you to come on even when it's a bad day. It will. A couples. Okay, now let's look over in Romans 16, please. Romans 16. Look at this. Romans 16. How about Phoebe? Remember I preached a message to you last year? In a world full of Jezebels, be a Phoebe? Well, look at this. Why would Paul commend, and listen, when he says her name alone, I'm thinking she's alone. Is she a widow? I don't know. Is she just simply single? I don't know. Maybe she's been divorced. I don't know. What I do know is that Paul trusts her. I think she's earned this trust. Verse 1 says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. We know she's a sister in Christ, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. And if you're going to serve God outside this church, in other places, you should already have a reputation of serving God in your church in New Canaan. You say, well, I do better when I go to Bolivia, where Brother Kenneth said, I don't know anybody. It's just different. Well, sure, it's different. They don't hardly know you. You don't hardly know them. You ought to learn how to serve God with people that know you and you know them, and they just aggravate the fire out of you. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the Word of God. It takes the power of God for there to be longevity in a place of where that you're going to love and serve. He says she was a servant of the church which was at Cenchrea. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint. And that you, what's that word? Thank you. Assist her. So here's a lady that Paul says, look, I don't know what kind of things that she was doing. I don't know, but I do know this, that she was in the ministry and she was ministering. And look what it says. And listen, don't discourage. Everybody hasn't married a Prince Charming. Everybody hasn't married at all. And some have been left by their husbands or widowed. But they want to serve. They want to serve the God who saved them. Maybe she's 20, maybe she's 25, maybe she's 35, maybe she's 65. I don't know. It's a wonderful thing when the Bible doesn't give you all the details, because then you can say, well, what we do know is that this woman was commended by the Apostle Paul, and he says when she gets there, she's going to take care of some things, and I want you to assist her. And the Bible says, and I think she went in there with an attitude, not of bossing men around, but knowing how to serve and how to deal with that. That you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself. I'm telling you, that is a wonderful word. It's only used twice in the New Testament. The only other time is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Is our high priest coming to be tempted that he might come and succor us when we are being tempted. I'm talking about really when you are really in bad need, Jesus will come and help you. And he said, this woman had the reputation of showing up when you needed help the most. She had helped not just one or two, but many. And he said, not only that, she helped me too. That's what Paul said. Do you understand that when you're in the ministry, a healthy church is not afraid to allow women to serve and have positions of where that they can do some things? Now, they're not going to be, I shouldn't even have to say this, and I don't think I do. You know we're not talking about the office of a pastor or a deacon. We know better than that. But we know that God uses women. Man, what would we do around here without our ladies? You can't count on me to decorate this sanctuary to make it look nice. It'd be looking like Bass Pro Shop if I was doing it. You don't want me making beds in there either. I mean, I make up my bed that satisfies me, and Cindy goes in there and takes everything apart and puts it back together. I'm just saying, you know, and not only that, like when you go into the kitchen, you know somebody that thinks about details, takes care of things, you know. And I mean, if I was cut and bleeding, I wouldn't want Brother John trying to put a bandage on me. You understand? I wouldn't want that. Or Brother Lorne either, I promise you. Them guys just take a rag, tie a knot in and say, man, suck it up, man, show yourself to be a man. You got people that have got the touch in certain areas to minister. And you got to let them. They won't always do everything just right. And you think you could have done it better. But the thing about it is you ain't doing it at all. Oh, amen. Okay, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Bible says this. You got all these names in here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, you got families, you got couples, you got ladies. Phoebe, I think about Lydia. I think Lydia got saved and was on fire for God. You know what? She was a businesswoman. That woman knew how to turn a dollar. And she was a seller of purple. And we're talking about high dollar stuff here. Nobody talking about Dollar General stuff here. We're talking about high dollar stuff. And that woman had a house. And she had servants. And she said, preachers, please come and stay at my place. Please. And when Paul and them resisted, she had a business, she persuaded them, and they came and stayed when they got out of jail, when they got out of prison. They stayed at her house. I would say that would be refreshing if I had just gotten out of prison and some rich woman said, hey, could you come stay at my place and you'd rest up? That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? That'd be awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, the Bible says here that there's families and couples and ladies. And then, I think about Epaphras in the book of Colossians. I think about here in verse number 12. We're talking about men as touching our brother Apollos. He said, I greatly desired him to come unto you. Now, you notice something Paul uses here with some humility? He didn't say, I demand him, nor did I command him. He said, I desired him. And when you are dealing with servants, you're leading an army that has volunteered. You understand? We all in here are volunteers. We want to serve. And so you got to be careful about turning into a boss. If you're given a little bit of authority around here and you're in charge, you better be careful about turning into a boss and trying to boss people around when they volunteer to help you. Don't run all your help off in your classroom. Don't run all your help off whatever you're doing around here. Hey, they did volunteer. Amen? I don't have to be here, you know. That's what they could tell you. I'm here because I want to be, not because I have to be. Y'all understand this? Y'all getting this? Okay. He said, I greatly desire. And yeah, I can look at you and say, brother, would you please do this? And you may look at me and say, brother, I'd love to, but this ain't going to work out in my schedule. Every man has to have a perimeter around him of where there's some boundaries. And say, Paul, you're just crossing a boundary right now, brother. I can't help you right now. You understand? You're going to have some of those. You can't come every time somebody calls you. Or you'll be gone and doing something all the time and neglecting yourself and your family. So be careful about that. Is it okay to say no once in a while? Yes, it is. All right, verse number 12. As touching our brother, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not to come at this time. He wasn't saying no completely. He was just saying, not right now, brother, but I will come when I can. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Looking at individuals, men, and he mentions those men again in verse number 17, three of them actually. Do you really believe we're all in the ministry? I want to close with this thought. We all are in the ministry in three particular areas, all of us. Now he writes them another letter in 2 Corinthians. He said, God has given us, number one, the ministry of reconciliation. We all are to witness and be a witness to the unsaved man and woman and try to win them to Christ. We all are in that ministry to do the best we can as a witness, whether it be just if you can only give them a tract and invite them to church, do something. You are in the ministry of reconciliation. We as a church collectively and individually are in the ministry of restoration. That is, when people fall by the wayside, God may use you. Sometimes when people get out of sorts with God, they'll roll up their window to certain people in this congregation. But they haven't rolled their window up to everybody in this congregation. And it could be that God may have laid them on your heart for you to reach out to them. You don't have to get all the details, and you don't have to have all the answers. You do need to let them know that you care about them, and even the people that they're mad at care about them, and you need to kind of build a bridge between where they are and where the church is, if possible. God may use you. We're all in the ministry of reconciliation and restoration. But according to verse number 18, it says also we are in the ministry of refreshing one another. That's what Paul said in Romans. When he wrote that letter, chapter number 15, the end of that chapter, he asked the church to pray for him so that when they would come together, he would come there and preach to them with a good attitude that they all might be refreshed. Well, there are times when I leave here that I am absolutely refreshed. Sometimes it's the singing, sometimes it's the service itself, and sometimes it's something you have said or something you have done or a decision you have made, and I am refreshed by that. Shouldn't we refresh each other? Should we be a fresh drink of water, or should we be a glass of salty water? Which one should we be? I think a fresh water. I hope when God looks upon us, I know we've got many places to work on, but I hope that we're not limping our way through. I hope that we are not crippled. I hope and pray that we've got a heartbeat and that we are striving to be a healthy assembly. People that take ownership and see themselves in the ministry, I see life taking place in their eyes and their life. When I go to a church, when it's a one-man show and it's all about him, I see people doing their duty, but I don't see the joy in their eyes. I don't see them going the extra mile wanting to be there except through guilt. That's not what we want here. We want you to serve the Lord because you love Him. He's your first love. I want you to be loyal to Him and serve Him. Get yourself in a good Bible-believing church and say, what can I do to serve? And mean it. Because it might be something that you're not good at to start with. It may be something that you really don't want to do. What if we were to ask you to vacuum the whole sanctuary because we really needed you to do it? You say, that's not what I signed up for. If you're a servant, you sign on a blank page and then we fill it in. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that will help you tonight. Let's pray, and then let me talk to you about a couple of things ministry-wise here at the church here to help you. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name that you'll encourage our people, that our young people would see that they are valuable and that there is more to life than, pleasure and possessions. God, I pray that you'd help us as a church to minister one to another, to edify one another in Christ. And Lord, I just want to tell you I love you and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.